How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. With me, as usual, is Leonard. My name is Chad. This is a show about wrestling. And this week, we are going to be giving you a new edition of Fever Dreams. So, for Leonard and I, it's been a while. We had a bit of a break. Now, the people out there don't think there was a break because I've been posting content pretty consistently. But it has been a little bit. So, Leonard, how's everything?
Oh, everything is going great. We at the time of this recorder is coming out of Halloween, and my wife and I have done some Halloween parties, and I'm in rehearsals for a Christmas play at our local community theater called Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some. So it's a conglomeration of a bunch of different Christmas specials and such. It's a comedy.
All right. Well, good luck with that. That should be fun. I would say going forward on this show, we'll probably cover a little bit more classic stuff, a little bit more older stuff, because I got to tell you, like, I've been kind of still keeping up a little bit with, like AEW, but not as much. I think both, companies right now have like similar issues, if I'm being honest. I think that there is a severe lack of quality storytelling in both companies. I think that there is too much content in both companies that ultimately doesn't mean anything. I think that there are a lack of stars, and the people that are on top aren't like people that you're going to be clamoring to pay tickets for. And the people that are good are going at it so hard that they're often injured. Case in point, Will Ospreay is out, and Seth Rollins is now out again. I have been keeping up with WWE as much, Leonard, but they've been doing a lot of events too. And then, of course, John Cena's retirement. They're doing a retirement tournament for him, Leonard. I don't know how you feel about that. I think it's kind of weird because unless
I
you
saw
like
that.
him.
I just saw the name that they were doing this. So is it a tournament to see who gets to face him in his last match?
Yes, correct.
I don't know. I think you're putting too much pressure on like not pressure, but too much emphasis on
They're
John
building it
Cena as the
up too
greatest
much.
company ever.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're building it up too much because it's not going to be Edge. No matter what clickbait bullshit you see on Facebook, it's not going to be Edge. Edge is filming, I think, Percy Jackson right now. And when he's not doing that, he's still signed to AEW. So it's not going to be Edge. I mean, some people are like, we still don't know what Jericho's doing. But, like, I don't know. It's not going to be some, like, really great, unless it's like The Rock and he's not going to enter a tournament. So.
No. It's not going to be because if it's a tournament, then you lose the surprise factor. You know who's in the tournament, unless
Right.
they do a bait and switch at the last minute
I mean,
type of deal.
it would be just like WWE to have somebody legitimately win the tournament and then have the final boss kind of shtick come out and have him just, I'm doing it.
Right. And like the most like Chad Gable wins. And it's a brilliant way to like elevate him and put him over, and then like The Rock smacks him in the back with a lead pipe and just takes the match.
Like that.
Whatever.
That's something that they would do. But yeah, anyway, I definitely think both companies have similar issues, despite who anybody is preferring to watch. But in any event, we are filming here from New
We're
Jersey.
going to give you an
Ohio.
alternative. We're going to give you an alternative to what is on now that is way better than
That's right.
anything that either company is booking.
That's right. And we are not, we have no deals with Saudi Arabia, Leonard, right?
Saudi Arabia, you said.
Yes.
Okay, my sponsorship is with United Arab Emirates.
Okay. Well,
So
that's, you know what? That's all right.
it's different.
That's all
That's
right.
different.
So, Fever Dreams, for those who do not know, it is basically fantasy booking. We take wrestlers' names, female, male, tag teams. We have names of belts and gimmick matches. We put them all into a random name generator and we debate and chat about the names that come out and who we think would win. This is something that we've been doing for a while now. We do have a champion, and it is Big Van Vader. The Japanese version is our champion. our FDW Fever Dreams Wrestling Champion. The Mega Powers Foundation, more on them later, are the FDW Tag Team Champions. Medusa is the FDW Women's Champion. And I believe this will be the last week for this one. CM Punk, the straight edge version, is the Smoky Mountain U.S. Junior Heavyweight Championship because, as I said, we put random belts into this name generator as well. And, you know, it's fun to kind of throw these kind of vintage belt names out there just to see if Leonard and I actually remember what they are, which we sometimes do. So, Leonard, any thoughts on Fever Dreams? This is Assault on Autumn. I forgot to mention the title. The title needs work, but that's what I'm calling it. So.
Yes, this is our first one in quite a while, I believe. Yep. And this is always one of the most fun ones for us because you never quite are sure what we're going to get, what we're going to pull here. You know, I think those our champions are four of the greatest champions ever in the history of professional wrestling. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Japanese Vader, a heel business version of Savage and Hogan, CM Punk, and Medusa is a women's champion. That, I mean, for fantasy booking, that's like top. That's top notch.
We might see some title changes.
We might. We'll see, but that's the fun of it. Yes, we got a fun card. And as most know, when we do this, I have to pull the names right before we come on because my computer runs too slow if I don't.
I so did right it before as I well. Come on.
Okay, so I pulled some stuff. I know what we're doing, and some of it's going to be really fun. So.
All right. Well, let's get us started here. So the results from the last Fever Dreams, just very quickly, we had Rick Steiner beating TJ Perkins on a glacier. Don't ask. CM Punk and John Moxley went to a no contest after Goldberg did a run-in. Leatherface defeated Bray Wyatt and Abyss in a triple threat. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mae Young defeated Chris Harris and Rockin' Robin in an intergender tag match. The Mega Powers Foundation defeated Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and Owen and Bulldog in a Judy Bagwell on a pole match for the tag team titles. Medusa defeated Awesome Kong and Jordan Grace to win the title there. And Vader dethroned Bruno Sammartino in a last man standing match. And oh yeah, our bonus match was the Varsity Club, Sullivan, Williams, and Rotundo defeating King Booker's Court, which we did not remember at the time and really had to do some research on. We actually reviewed a King Booker's Court match, the only one that
yes.
they ever had. So
yeah, that had official all the official members together in this
right.
in the yeah.
So that was last event. And we're getting started here with Rick Steiner versus Leatherface, two guys who won their matches last time in a gimmick that is, that's the random part of this one. Leonard is picking the gimmick. So we'll go
this
ahead.
Is a brilliant gimmick for both of these guys because Rick Steiner, you know, is a great wrestler, but also kind of a hard-hitting dude, can be a hard-hitting dude. Leatherface, of course, a brawler, hardcore wrestler. So it is perfect that these guys are going to have a Duchess of Queensberry rules match.
Oh, God.
So for those of you who don't remember, this was a random match between William Regal and Chris Jericho, where Regal declared that it would be under a Duchess of Queensberry rules, where a woman dresses Duchess of Queensberry, basically made up rules as the match went along in order to help Regal to win. Now, the benefit of us having drawn names before we came on, I knew we were doing this. So if you have a Duchess of Queensberry rules match, you have to have a Duchess of Queensberry, correct?
That's right.
So outside the ring, dressed up in full Marie Antoinette garb, is Asuka.
Okay. So, all right. Well, so are we keeping with just the theme that she gets to make up the rules, or are we going with the rules that have already been established in the, for what I know, only other match of this?
I did not look up what the rules were that were established. I didn't look up to refresh myself on what it was. That's what I did right before we came on the air. And it just said that the rules are made up as you go.
Okay, so I what the most thing I remember about that match, by the way, is Jerry Lawler's commentary, who did a really good job of adding comedic flavor to every single rule change. In the middle of the match, because it was ridiculous. But yeah, so in this one, I mean, my goodness, if we're going with Asuka, then I would think that the rule changes here, you would think would benefit Leatherface to some degree.
Yes, Leatherface, of course, worked in Japan.
Yep.
So there is a Japanese connection. I would think this is going to lean more heel. I would guess he's going to be working as the heel in this.
Yep. I would pick Leatherface. I think if this goes, if any rule that it is made so that they can kind of go into like a no holds barred territory, I would think it benefits Leatherface for sure. Both of these guys, like Rick Steiner, has the better build of the two. Like Leatherface, for those who might not remember, was Corporal Kirshner.
Yes, who we did a profile on at one point.
So like he was certainly he was strong, military guy, all that. But when he became Leatherface, I feel like he was just a little bit bigger, and just a little bit more of like a deathmatch brawler type guy. So if we go even a little bit in that direction, I gotta think Leatherface is coming out with the win here.
I like Leatherface, and I definitely think he should come back with Asuka dressed as Marie Antoinette.
That's this. See, this is how
Well,
crazy this gets. And
in Victorian garb or whatever. I think they need to return for some sort of title. Maybe the next time, whatever the random title is that we introduce.
yeah, and
Maybe.
I'll say just to show how kind of long we've been doing this and how insane it can get. Like we will insert random names that Leonard and I joke about. Like, Mega Powers Foundation is one of them that we just kind of thought about. Another one that I got for the championship match at the end, which I didn't use because you're going to know why I didn't use it, was Tripping on Acid Spike Dudley. So I'm not going to have Tripping on Acid Spike Dudley against Vader. Not doing
Oh
that.
yeah, that's a 10-second squash.
Right.
That's
So anyway, all right. So the next match is a four-way for the FDW Women's Championship. Medusa going against three other ladies that I picked the names for. And these names legitimately came out one after the other, and I was kind of surprised. So Medusa's going to be going against some modern talent here. We've got Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair.
Other than Jax, that's a hell of a four-way. That'd be a great triple threat without Jax in there, I think. I think Medusa is one of the ladies from the past era that could hang with current modern wrestlers
For sure.
because she wrestled very much like a guy. She had a move set and a physicality, and Sherry did too. That was very much more like a guy. I think both of them could hang with today's women. So I think Jax is really moot. I like Ripley. I like Belair. A lot of people will tell you Ripley is the greatest women's wrestler going right now, and you can certainly make that argument. Medusa versus Ripley, I think, would be a great match straight up. So I think it kind of goes down to, does Jax factor in? Does Belair factor in? I lean maybe a little bit more towards Ripley winning, but maybe pinning Belair or Jax, so you protect Medusa, and then maybe we can come back with a match between the two of them, a gimmick of some sort, straight up.
You kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I definitely see Rhea Ripley winning. In terms of your comment about greatest women's wrestler ever, ever is a large statement maybe, but like right now, yeah, she's, I mean,
Yeah, if I said ever, I meant to say current, but yeah.
she's at the top of the list for sure right now. I mean, I have said a lot about WWE's product, but in terms of the women's division, she is very good and really seems to be passionate and love what she's doing whenever she's there, which I think goes a long way. Because some of the other women that have been in it for a little bit longer, I think now are getting to a political point with a lot of their, wheelings and dealings. Like Mercedes Moné has 12 belts now, Leonard. I don't know if you realize that. And Charlotte Flair has been in it for a little bit too long, It starts to get a little bit, but Rhea Ripley is still very good. So I think that this match would, kind of lean in her direction. And I like the idea of her pinning Belair or Jax to set up a match between her and Medusa with a gimmick for sure.
All
So
right, so keep that in
who's
mind for next
champion?
time.
All right. So our next match is another one from our last event. It is a triple threat match. CM Punk, the straight edge version, against John Moxley, against Bill Goldberg for the Smoky Mountain U.S. Junior Heavyweight Championship. But there are managers, and Leonard has picked the managers.
I like these managers. So CM Punk has JJ Dillon,
Okay. I know.
former manager of the Four Horsemen.
He'd probably dig that.
Yeah. John Moxley has Sunshine,
Okay.
who's a valet down in Texas. I believe it was with no, she was the replacement for Precious with Jimmy Garvin, I think, at one point.
Yes.
And then it was with other people. And then Goldberg has Paul E. Dangerously.
Oh my God. Well, this.
So not Paul Heyman, not Paul Heyman,
No, I know where
Paul
it is.
E. Dangerously.
This is an easy one, and I know exactly where this is going to be going long term. I would think that this is, a pretty easy win for Goldberg. Straight Edge CM Punk was pretty peak CM Punk, I would say. Abilities and promo wise, he was really bringing it. So I certainly like I you know he might give Goldberg a little bit more of a competitive match. And John Moxley is more of the brawler, four-time AEW champion. He's still one of the main guys there. So I do think that this triple threat match could be interesting. But I think ultimately, with Goldberg's kind of explosive power, even though he's not well-rounded as these other two guys, I think Spear, Jackhammer, that's all she wrote.
I agree with you. I think that Straight Edge Punk is not only peak Punk, but he's also peak selling Punk. And he would sell the crap out of Goldberg's offense. Moxley, of course, loves to do bloody hardcore overselling as well. So I think this winds up being more or less an extended squash for Goldberg. And if you want to factor in the managers, yeah, I mean, Dylan could be a factor, but I think we all know Paulie Dangerously and the giant cell phone and the presence that he was at ringside during that period. And when you said, "I know where this is going," Dangerous Alliance.
Well, I was going to say, because our stipulation with this belt, these random belts, is that if the person doesn't want to keep that belt, if we think they wouldn't want to defend that particular belt, they can trade it in for a title shot at
Wow.
whoever the champion is. And one would think that Goldberg will do just that.
He would, and I think he should keep Paul as his manager going into that main event
Absolutely.
next time.
Absolutely.
Yes, and maybe this is the start of a dangerous alliance, and maybe we finally have someone that could go against the Mega Powers.
That's true. That's true. All right, our next match is just a straight up one-on-one match, Leonard. I thought we don't put enough of those in there,
Nope.
because they're not maybe not flashy enough for something like this. But it is one-on-one match. We are getting Sting, the Joker version from TNA, against the heel version of Daniel Bryan.
Okay, so this would be the version where he had like the wooden belt and he was all about like eating granola bars and trees and stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's the way he is in real life. Not the heel part, but like that is how that's why that part that was so great. But anyway, yes,
Yes.
that era, yes.
Well, this is well, Joker's thing is one of the worst versions of Sting, I think, because of his age, because he wasn't being asked to do much at this time.
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily fit his personality. While, as you said, even though as a heel, a lot of what Daniel Bryan was doing at that point did fit his personality, and I think did revitalize him a little bit there at the end of his WWE run. So I would go with heel Daniel Bryan. I think he's much better in the ring, and that's a much better character for him than what Sting was at the time in the Joker gimmick.
Yeah, I mean the gimmick itself, I guess, was meant to be like. I mean, I wasn't watching TNA at this time, but like in retrospect, it seems like it was meant for him to be like really super unpredictable, kind of like the Joker was in the movie The Dark Knight, because that's clearly the version that they were channeling here. But but it was Sting as an older. He was still older at this point, and I don't think that at this point, like you said, I don't think TNA. were using him as well as they could have been. But still, you have him a decent sting against a peak Daniel Bryan. He had not gone out with it, like the neck injury for all those years yet. This was him as the guy in WWE for that period of time. I mean, when they make you your own belt, that shows you, I think, how big of a name you are. Like, if you look back at all the guys that had their own personalized belt while they were going, not these things that they sell after the fact.
Right. But even the spinner belt and the
Right.
smoking skull belt and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So
So I would agree with you. Daniel Bryan wins that all day.
yeah.
All
So
right.
keep that in mind. You should probably get a chance to come back then.
Absolutely. All right. So our next match is a triple threat match for the FDW Tag Team titles, the Mega Powers Foundation of Randall Poffo and Terrence Bollea. And they have three females with them at this point, Leonard. I don't know if you realize that. They have.
I'm trying to remember. I know they have Alexandra York, and I want to say, is it Elizabeth and Woman?
Elizabeth Hewlett, and they just because they won the pole match, they now have Judith Bagwell.
Oh, I forgot about Judith Bagwell. So they've got Alexandra York, Elizabeth Hewlett, and Judith Bagwell.
Yeah, they got
Okay.
they, you had made a comment in the last episode that made me laugh. They're like Ric Flair now. They've got
Yes.
many women with them. So they are going to be going against an actual tag team, and then we're doing something a little bit different this time. I picked two names that will become a tag team to see if we can change it up because these guys are pretty dominant.
Yes. They would have to go back and look to see how long they've had the belts. Now, my tag team, I think these guys actually got a shot at one point and lost already. But you may remember the Young Bucks.
They might
Matt
have
and
been.
Nick Jackson. I think
Okay.
that they might have gotten a shot at one point.
All right. Yeah, I need to add some different versions of some of these guys too, because the Young Bucks, it was just kind of they were always the same, but their characters now are a lot different. But yeah, we'll call this Peak Young Bucks, and they're going to be going against pre-UFC Brock Lesnar and
Okay.
Rey Mysterio unmasked.
Oh, I like it's a big little team. I
Yeah,
like the idea
yeah.
that it's a big little team. Unmasked Ray is awful though. He looks 12. I mean, but maybe that helps with the team dynamic. You know,
What
you
was
got big badass Brock Lesnar.
the stable he was with?
Oh, he was with the Filthy Animals, wasn't
Filthy
he?
Animals, thank you.
Yes.
So okay, that's the era we're going with for Rey Mysterio. So, you know, we like a lot of these matches might be setups to future matches because I definitely think that, you know, the Young Bucks are the odd team out here, even though the Young Bucks, you know, I don't think this is divisive to say, are one of the most enduring tag teams in wrestling. They've been around forever. They can still go in the ring. You know, and to a comment that Leonard has made in the past, like, you would find it maybe mildly interesting now because their gimmick now is that they lose all the time and they have no money. So, like, the people that do the entrances and the music always mess with them to give them different entrances because they can't pay for a proper entrance anymore.
Do they still throw 50 super kicks a match?
They definitely do that still, yes, but
Okay.
they have lost a lot.
Here's what I want. Here's what I want to happen in this match. I want them to both super kick Hogan, and he no sells it.
That because that's what probably would happen in real life.
Yes.
or the, you
I
know,
want him to
let's
Hulk up. I want them to super kick Hogan like 10 times in a row, and he just keeps hulking up
they do the
every
V
time.
the V trigger like two or three times and they'll have him Hulk up then because they
Yeah.
that's a move that's person's on their knees. I think that though the team that has the most chance would be Lesnar and Mysterio because Lesnar
Yes.
pre-UFC was a monster. Was like, I mean, I'll never forget the first time I saw him get into a ring and powerbomb Spike Dudley into oblivion. I knew immediately. I was like, this is someone. Like, so he and Ray, even though this is not peak Ray, like, I think that this would be a really good tag team. But I do think that the Mega Powers steal this with a pin on the Young Bucks, and maybe Ray and Brock get a future shot.
Yeah, I think their finisher would be a rocket launcher with Ray coming off of Brock's shoulders. I
You could
think
do that.
that's the finisher.
You or
That's the
you could
finisher.
have Brock give Ray an F5 onto another opponent.
That's a good finisher too. I like that as well. So yeah, I love that team. But you're right. I think the Mega Powers are too dominant. Could Brock and Ray beat them in a future match, one-on-one, right gimmick on their side? Maybe they got their own woman on the outside.
Maybe a
Who, you know,
manager, yeah.
Commander, who knows?
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I think the Mega Powers Foundation do hold on here, but I think that there's enough that we could do something with Brock and we need to come up with a tag name
I was, you know what? I've been trying to think of that ever
for
since I
Brock
drew
and
these
Ray.
names.
Yes. We'll
All
come
right.
up with something.
All right. So this next one is, Leonard's special one because you were looking forward to this match. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do. As soon as I read it, I'm like, yes, I forgot that we were going to do this, but that was jazz beyond belief that we were going to do this.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mae Young in an intergender match against Rick Rude and the Fabulous Moolah with a gimmick. An intergender match with a gimmick, which I don't know how many times that's happened in real life, but what is the gimmick?
And this is a legit poll by me. I did not gimmick the gimmick. I did not make it up. I did not clicking buttons until I got what I wanted. Scaffold match.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I mean, we know that, like, if any, see, I think the better tag team by a hair is Stone Cold Mae Young. But
Yes.
I also know that the only person that's going to be going off that scaffold is Mae Young.
Right. And she will do it gladly, and she'd do it twice.
And get up and, just walk to the back like normal.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. Yeah. See, this is tough. Like, Rick Rude and Stone Cold. Was this a special version of Rick Rude? I forget.
I do not have that written down. I think this might have been just like peak rude.
Okay. I'm wondering if this was like WCW Rick Rude. But
WCW Rick Rude is a good Rick Rude.
absolutely. Oh man, see this is tough, Leonard. I don't know. You might be able to sway me on this one, but I can't pick. This is an even match, I feel like.
This is a really even match. I mean, Stone Cold is the only one of these guys who's been in a scaffold match. He was in a scaffold match. Him and Terry Taylor, I believe, was against P.N. Deuce and Bobby Eaton
Right.
in a capture the flag scaffold match. So he has scaffold match,
That's the one where PN
experience.
News was like terrified to be up on the scaffold.
Yes, I know, and I think I've heard that that was a rib on Bobby Eaton. Let's give him P.N. Deuce as a partner and send him up the scaffold together. Yeah, this is tough. I agree with you that Mae Young is the one who's going to take the fall off the scaffold. You know, none of these other people are going to take the fall off the scaffold. She will. She would gladly do that. So given that, and as even as it is, and I think if you're booking, go, oh, well, of course Austin would go over Rude, but not necessarily, depending, on what your story is and all that. So I'm going to say that Rude and Moolah win simply because Mae Young will be the likely person to take the dive.
I would agree with that. And you know what I was thinking, like, you could say Stone Cold would go over a Rick Rude, but then you would also say that a Moolah would probably go over Mae Young. So that's where it becomes very even in my opinion.
Yes.
But I would agree with you. I think Rude and Moolah will take this just because it probably would be Mae Young's idea to go off the scaffold.
Yeah, she was probably the one to let's do a scaffold match so I can do the job.
Yeah, and she'll probably like, yell at Rude, like, make sure you sell it. Like, make
Yeah,
sure
the fear, the fear and the abject horror of me falling off the scaffold totally
you.
separate.
All right. So our last match is for the FDW Universal title. And it is Big Van Vader, the Japanese version, against Harley Race, Prime Harley Race,
Okay.
against a prime Vern Gagne.
Wow. I like that a lot. Prime Harley and Prime Vern probably did happen at some point and would have been a really good match. All these guys, Vern, of course, is more, see, so Vader could wrestle, but was more of a brawler. Vern could brawl, but was more of a technical wrestler. Harley could do both, depending on who he was in the ring with. Harley could do both. Harley, in his prime, NWA world champion, early to mid-70s. I mean, this dude body slammed Andre the Giant on the floor. We reviewed that match at one point. It's really tough. I think with Vern as a spoiler there in the middle, I think Harley Race could really take advantage of that. And Japanese Vader is like the best version of Vader, but I'm leaning towards Harley Race. I want to hear your thoughts.
It is for me also a slight lean for Harley Race here, simply because we didn't put, I don't think we put in a ton of versions of Harley Race. So when that happens and you just get the guy's name, then we consider it the peak version
Right. This
of
isn't
that guy.
King Harley Race,
Right.
from the 80s WWF or manager Harley Race. This is, I would assume, NWA World Heavyweight Champion in the 70s, Harley Race.
Yeah, I need to, you know what, Leonard, I need to check to see if manager Harley Race is even on that list. He might not be.
I don't know. We'd have to look, but he should be added to that. Yes.
Absolutely. So yeah, I
Because
think
he managed Vader at one point, did he not? Yes.
that's true. Wow, what a connection. Now,
Yes.
think
So
about
he knows Vader. So if we're saying this is peak Harley Race, but he has all Harley Race knowledge,
that.
then he would have inside knowledge as up to what Vader would like to do or does in a match.
Yeah, in our world, he has the knowledge of every era of Harley Race. But by that nature, then Vader has the knowledge of every era of Vader. So we'll still pick Harley Race, I think, just barely here, because Vern being there, Vern's trying to do technical stuff. I think Vader just, squashes him in the corner a little bit.
Right. I think Harley is gonna like low blow Vader, or do something when the referee's checking on Vern or something like that,
So,
and
wow.
take it.
All right. So we have a new champion in Harley Race.
I thought the Japanese Vader was gonna hold on to this for a while,
So
but
did I. So did I.
yeah.
All right. Well, that is our last match. Unless, Leonard, do you want to do a bonus?
Now, you did say we could do a dark main event, and I did poll four names. So I don't know if you, because there's going to be a random fatal four way. So I don't know if you had pulled any names, but I have four names.
I have four names as well. You go with yours first.
Okay, do you want to do all four, or do you want to do like two and two?
No, that's all right. You do your four, and then I'll give you my four as well.
Okay, so my four, I have the AEW version of Kenny Omega. So I would assume this is probably original version before the injuries and all that. Heel Mr. Perfect.
Ooh, okay.
Mahabali Shira, if I'm saying his name correctly. And Pitbull number two, Anthony Durante.
Oh wow, okay. Gosh, a Mr. Perfect Kenny Omega match, has 4 stars written all of it for me anyway.
Yes. Yes. When I it was this Omega Perfect, that would be a great dark main event.
Gosh, that's really tough to say who would win too. The third name I don't know as much about.
Yeah, I'm aware of him. He was in TNA for the period when I was watching it, and he used to come out and he would have his arms, for those of you watching on YouTube, if this goes on YouTube, he would have his arms crossed and then he would just flex his fingers, his
Okay.
index fingers, and dance. And flex his index fingers, and the crowd went bananas for it. Like it was the greatest thing they've ever seen.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah, I need
And
to.
he was Middle Eastern. I forget what country he did hail from, but it was that period when TNA was trying to promote some Middle Eastern wrestlers and was trying to break into that market.
And you said this was heel perfect?
Heel Perfect, yeah. So I assuming this is Mr. Perfect during what had been 88 when he like smashed the belt, the hammer. Going against Hogan in main events on the house circuit. Perfect. That would be my pick for heel Mr. Perfect.
I would probably give a slight edge to Mr. Perfect here. because it's AEW, Kenny Omega, like he hadn't gotten injured yet. Like he was, at one point he was the guy in AEW for sure and might be again someday. But if this was like Japanese Kenny Omega, I would give you a different answer for sure.
That's what I thought. That's why I was very specific. And it did say AEW. So that's why I was very specific. Because I thought that too. I said, if this is Japanese Omega, then I know where you would go. I'm not a big Omega fan, although he has grown on me a little bit as I've watched. Like, I don't like the dumb stuff, but when he's actually trying, he's good. So, but no, I mean, Heel Mr. Perfect is this peak Kurt Hennig.
It really was.
On all things, even you as a big Kenny Omega fan, I think would have to say if you're getting Omega across the board nines, a Kurt Hennig would be across the board tens, and selling and ring work and
Oh,
character
absolutely.
and all the different things. So yeah, I would definitely go with Perfect this too. And Shira and Pitbull number two are just also rans in this. I think maybe they brawl to the back early on and we just get that one-on-one bout that we all want.
I like that idea for sure. All right, well, we'll have to remember that name again next time as well. My random fatal four-way, I feel like everybody's gonna think one name here, but we have the AEW version of Matt Hardy against Earthquake, against the face version of Roman Reigns, against the Mid-South version of Junkyard Dog. So obviously, people are gonna be like, "Oh, we're Roman Reigns all day." Screw Roman Reigns, Earthquake. I'm going with Earthquake.
Dude, I want Earthquake. I mean, Mid-South Junkyard Dog is the best junkyard dog. The dude
Oh
was
yeah.
over. The dude was in shape. I mean, he wasn't ever great in the ring, but that is a monumental one. And a program against like heel Earthquake against face JYD in Mid-South would sell out.
Oh yeah.
The Superdome there in New Orleans. I mean, that they're headlining of one of their big shows with that. AEW Matt Hardy is going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get squished like Damien in the sack by Earthquake.
Yeah, for sure.
He has nothing to do with this at all. And then what was the other name?
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Face Reigns. He's always better in a heel than a face to me.
I agree.
So yeah. So I'm gonna go Earthquake here. But I mean Earth, and this is another one where if the other two guys just kind of go away and we just get face Mid-South JYD versus Earthquake, I would be okay with just that straight up. But I like Earthquake here too.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's good. Yeah. Matt Hardy is such a random name for this, but that's why we do this.
Well, AEW Matt Hardy too, which is like the absolute worst version of Matt Hardy you can
It
have.
was. It
Considering there
was.
are 1,000 versions of Matt Hardy, that's the
Oh, yeah.
worst version.
It probably was, and like just a side tangent, it is kind of sad to me that like they were primed and ready to give the titles in AEW to the Hardys. Like they were like, I think it was going to happen at a pay-per-view, and they were going to do that, and then Jeff got arrested again, and so they just shit canned that whole storyline, and then they left, and then they became champions in TNA again. So, anywho, yeah, AEW Matt Hardy, sorry for your loss, but all right, well, let us know what you thought of this. If you would have picked any other names here, and let us know in the comments. Check us out wherever you listen to podcasts as well. We have other videos. We do rebooks. We do segment surgery, random match reviews, stupid questions, all sorts of different stuff. We like to have fun here. Subscribe to our content. Hit the like button. Thank you very much for checking us out. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.